deserve radio done right. The new 92.7 KZHC.
Looking back now, it makes me laugh. We were growing our hair, we were cutting class. Knew it all already, there was nothing to learn. We were striking matches just to watch them burn. Listen to our music just a little too loud. We were hanging in there with the outcast crowd. And to the rapids with some discount beer. It was a long train trestle, but we had no fear. Awkward and shy. Girls were a mystery that we couldn't explain. And I guess there are some things that are never gonna change. Man, I don't know where the time goes, but it sure goes fast. Just like that, we were wannabe rebels and didn't have a clue. Rock and roll t-shirts and our typically bad attitude. Had no excuses for the things that we'd done. We were brave, we were crazy, we were mostly young.
Kick off the weekend. There's a stretch of black top. I ain't never seen a cop, so I'm pushing it a little past 10. Pulled a little money from the bank, put it in the tank, shined up the windshield glass. Don't know where the night might lead, ain't nowhere to be, but I gotta get there fast. There's a cold beer calling my name. Feel a good time coming, got a new song humming. Sunset's doing this thing. Feeling lucky as a seven. Yeah, sometimes heaven is a pocket full of payday green. And my baby put a sugar on me. Yeah, it's sure been a pretty damn good day. And there's a cold beer calling my name.
up a red big flame. Or wrap around ports with a citronella torch. Yeah, you know I'm down either way. There's a chance that tonight might be the night that way. I ain't ever gonna forget you. Everybody's turning it up. I got a little buzz and I ain't even had one yet. There's a cold beer calling my name. Feel a good time coming. Got a new song humming and the sunset's doing its thing. Feeling lucky as a 7 year. Sometimes heaven is a pocket full of payday green. And my baby put sugar on me. Yeah, it's sure been a pretty damn good day. And there's a cold beer calling my name. It's calling my name.
Our local community folks making a difference here in Harney County. Join Mindy Gould in studio right now. It's Harney County Live, right here on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning, Harney County, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. I am Mindy Gould, and you guys are listening to Harney County Live. And this morning, I've got Dominic Bachman, Aquatic Health Coordinator with the Harney Basin. So welcome.
Welcome. I'm excited to be here.
So let's start off. Go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I was born and raised in Utah, actually doing something very similar to what I do now. I grew up on a big wildlife area right on the edge of the Great Salt Lake, and my dad was a wetland bird biologist as well. So, and I've been doing bird biology, wetland ecology work for my entire life.
Nice. And where did you go to school at?
I went to Utah State for a short time, and then I went to Humboldt State in Northern California. I studied wildlife ecology there for my undergraduate, and then I studied ecology, studying geese on a national wildlife refuge for my graduate degree.
Oh, wow, that's neat. So did you just go into this career and this and for schooling and education because it was something your dad did and you just enjoyed, or how did you come about coming into this?
You know, every little kid decides, you know, what they want to be maybe at a young age, or maybe they never decide. I mean, it's comes along those lines. But my mom's family owned a dairy, and I worked on the dairy, and I was pretty sure I didn't want to do that. So I was like, what? I need to find something else that is not working on the dairy. So that is why I decided I need to go to school and work hard and get some degrees and get a job doing biology, because my dad drove around on airboats and counted birds and didn't smell like cow poop when they went to work in the morning. So
totally, totally get that. So, so with the aquatic, obviously it's fish in the water and stuff like that. Do you work with other animals besides like the geese, like you had talked about for...
Well, with my career, I studied the Aleutian cackling goose, which is kind of a neat goose, that little teeny small version of a Canada goose that nests up in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. And I did get to go up there, but that isn't where I studied them. I studied them on the Northern California coast and Southern Oregon, where they're spring staging it before they head up there. And I was actually working on somewhat similar to some of the work that we do here, in that I was working with a lot of private landowners. Some of the geese were foraging on the dairy pastures over there, and my background in dairying and bird biology sort of was a natural fit for that particular job. And we worked with trying to produce better habitat on the refuge so that the birds would use the refuge more and use the private lands a little bit less. And then since then, I was a crane biologist in Northeastern California, studying sandhill cranes for about 8 years, as well as doing all kinds of wetland projects on private lands and at the Modoc National Wildlife Refuge, also on Highway 395. And then I transferred up to the state of Washington, where I studied. I was in charge of sage grouse, but all kinds of fish and wildlife for the entire state of Washington. And my office was in downtown Spokane, and it was on Division Street, which is also Highway 395. So this has been a little bit of a story. And then I actually worked for the National Wild Turkey Federation, studying turkeys for a while. And I was here in Harney County. I covered Oregon, Idaho, and Washington, and that position ended, and I was lucky enough to get this position. So I've mostly been working with different kinds of birds, wetlands, and habitat.
So with you being transferred all over the place, are you with the same company, or is it every time a position ends, you've got to go to a different company, another division?
Yeah, I think a lot of the biology type jobs, you do have to jump around a little bit, different agencies and organizations. I worked for the federal government, worked for nonprofit, I worked for state agencies. So I've worked for all types of different organizations.
So right now you are out at Harney Lake. What is it specifically that you guys, that you're doing?
Well, Harney Lake is just a dust bowl right now. I work on Malheur Lake.
Oh, sorry, Malheur Lake. I'm so sorry.
No, actually, that's a good distinction to talk about first. So a lot of people that live here, you know, you really can't, there's no access to Malheur Lake, and Harney Lake is a wilderness area, and then there's Mud Lake. And so other than driving by on the Narrows, which on most years is dry, people don't really realize how big of a lake there are and how big of a lake there was when the water came up. So the history with Malheur Lake is kind of the main wettest lake, although lake is really a misnomer for that lake. So it's not really a lake, it's a wetland. I mean, at maximum 5 feet deep, and on most years, a foot and a half. So even though it's 35,000 acres on an average year, you could get out of the boat at any point and step off the boat.
Oh my goodness.
So, Malheur Lake at one point was up to 100,000 acres in the floods of 83, 84, 85, 86, and all the way through the end of the 90s, it floods Malheur Lake system. When it gets full, it floods across the Narrows, across Highway 205 into Mud Lake, which then flows, it gets high enough and eventually breaks through a big sand dune and goes into Harney Lake and then fills up Harney Lake. Harney Lake is filled by the Silver Lake Basin from a different direction. And there's just not that much flow from that system. So right now, this whole summer, Harney Lake has just been dust blowing across. Mm. Malheur Lake, we're having a pretty dry year this year. I'd say maximum would be a foot and a half right now. And it's unique. You can see a lot of the actual lake from the hill above the refuge headquarters. There's a nice viewing platform, and you could go out and you could see it. But to really get out and see it, you basically have to work there. I mean, there's not many access points. There's an access point off of Saddle Butte that you can drive and get to within about a mile and a half of the water, as well as off of Rue Road, you can get within a mile and a half. But things are so flat, it's hard to see. It's hard to see anything out there. But so the lake issues that we're working on are, there's three main projects that we're working on this year, but the lake issues are this. Once upon a time, if we go back in time to pre-floods we just talked about, all across the entire 35,000 acres, there was emergent vegetation. So cattails, tules, that you would imagine in any pond, these green, lush vegetation growing out of the swamps, as well as in the water, which at the time the water was clear and had all this little tendrils of basically what you would call, if you were a little kid fishing, seaweed, but sago, pondweed, and all these other things that are great for habitat for bugs, it's food for birds, it's clean water, clear, and tons of migratory birds. The Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and just this Harney Basin in general, still very important for birds, but the lake itself is, I think the best term for it is sick. It is turned to a turbid state where it is now, the entire lake has hardly any vegetation actually growing out in the water, nor growing in underneath the water, like no seaweed and no little tules poking out. And that is probably related to a whole bunch of things, starting with the lake. When the water rose up, it got so deep that it killed off some of the stuff in the middle. And then we added some other factors. These fish, non-native fish that we're going to talk about, the carp. The carp came into the system in the 1950s, but have really thrived out there. And we're talking about tons and tons of fish. We're not talking about numbers of fish. We're talking about tons of biomass. So, and these fish grow very quickly and they are huge. I mean, it's nothing to see, you know, when we do a fish capture, you could fill this room with 20 pounders in just one section. So tons of fish biomass.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Yep. You are listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7, and I've got Dominic Bachman, the Aquatic Health Coordinator.
On your mark, get set, go to the annual Trail of Hope 5K Run and Walk Saturday, June 26th at 8 a.m. at the Heinz Park Pavilion. After the race, enjoy live music, food, and vendors in the park. All proceeds benefit Can Cancer, which assists cancer patients in Harney County. Visit Can Cancer of Harney County's Facebook page for online registration information or call Stephanie Weissman at 573-8614 for more information. Those who register by June 1st will receive a discounted price and be guaranteed a t-shirt. Business opportunity in Burns. At the Biggest Little Kitchen store in Eastern Oregon, Gourmet and Gadgets is looking for someone who wants a great local Harney County business opportunity. Jan's inventory is all for sale, no property included. Stop in, visit with Jan and Bob if you are interested, or call 573-1725. 573-1725. That's 573-1725 to discuss. Gourmet and Gadgets, 340 North Broadway in Burns.
Craig here with Ed Stobbinsons. Driving across the valley, I see the pivots are starting to turn and the pumps are starting to pump. It's still a great time to stock up on your deep well and pivot gear lubes. Our preseason sale runs through the month and we always provide volume discounts. Call us for tote, multiple drum, and pallet pricing. And if you purchase high volume, we deliver. Our delivery trucks can deliver drums and products with fuel orders. Give us a call, 573-2622. Ed Stobbinsons, Energy Community Service.
Now back to the good stuff. Harney County Live, here on the new 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and you are listening to Harney County Live. So we're back in studio, and I have got Dominic Bachman with the Aquatic Health Coordinator, and you're doing studies out on Malheur Lake for all the carp and the red band trout and stuff. So go ahead and continue.
I was just explaining about the Malheur Lake ecosystem, and so its health is poor, the aquatic health is poor, and so as the water rose up, it killed some of the vegetation, and the carp had been moving in. The carp are very successful there, so carp are part of the issue. And so what the carp do, the way they feed, is they basically dig around in the mud, and so they muck up the water. On top of, by removing all this vegetation, they create it so the wind can create a lot of, the wind moves, you know, as you may have noticed this spring, it's been a bit windy, and the wind blows the water back and forth, as well as, since there's no vegetation out there sort of holding the ice in place, when the ice moves for breakup in spring, it basically shears off anything that is trying to grow out there. So what we have out there is sort of a no man's land. There's no vegetation. The water looks like the darkest, thickest chocolate milk you've ever seen. And the only critters really living out there are the carp. Now, we do have birds. You see them. We have lots of birds that live in the area. But there isn't much food for them. The only birds that are thriving are things like pelicans and terns and gulls that eat fish. So one of the goals over many, many years of people here long before me was to try and work on how we could get this ecosystem back to being from that turbid state to a clear water state. So we have three projects that we're out there working on right now. The three projects, one of which is carp and trout tracking with telemetry. The second one is the emergent vegetation project. And then the third one is a project looking at water quality and clarity in effect of wind, as well as some other treatments called the Mesocosm Project. All right, wild card, dealer's choice. Which one you want to talk about first?
Let's just continue on with the first one, with the fish.
Okay, so the telemetry project is something that I'm really excited about. 7 years ago, we couldn't have done this. Technology's moving really fast. So basically, you take something pretty small, an inch and a half long in the carp, and you actually implant it, basically put them in anesthesia, implant this this little device inside of them, and then leaves a little antenna sticking out, and we can track the carp, and we track them in a bunch of ways. So it sends off a radio frequency. It'd be like number 8971114, and that is that we know that that comes from this fish, and we can get that through. We have 12 stations, some in the lake, a lot along the Blitzen system, that are just out there with batteries, and they're out there listening. If the fish swims by, basically the reader will read into that system, and then when we go and download that data, it will show which fish swam by, when, how long it hung out in within the range of these little receivers. And then also we can walk around by hand and listen, like maybe you've seen on the nature show, someone is walking around holding a Yagi antenna and listening, as well as we can drive around in the airboat and listen, as well as we can also, and we've already done this a couple times, of have a fixed wing plane, like a small plane will fly over and listen for them. So the goal with this is that we're hoping to understand when are the trout using the system, and when are the state listed red band trout, and then when are the carp using the system, and is there an opportunity, sort of this Trojan fish, is there some opportunity for us to reduce the carp? That's been a goal of the county and the refuge for a long time. And so there might be some opportunities where perhaps when they're spawning, they're all spawning in one area along the lower section of the Blitzen, and the trout aren't there right now. And so there's an opportunity for us to remove some of those carp and remove some of that biomass. I think that in all reality, it's never been done in history that once a carp population is established, it's never been removed, because even just one female gravid female carp can lay billions of eggs. And so it can basically, the entire population can restart. So right now we're tracking them around. We're going to be tracking them for over a year. And we've already gotten some cool data where the trout have moved up. They've moved past all of our sites. Some of the trout went out into the lake and then back up the river system. The carp have moved in and out of the system. And we're getting a lot of really great data. We're finding tons of the fish that we've marked. Hopefully we can continue to do such, maybe find that they all winter in a certain area that they might be susceptible for us to either trap, remove, commercially harvest the carp, all things that have been tried. So that's the fish tracking project.
That is so interesting. Okay, and then what's the other one? The miso?
So the Mesocosm is basically like, imagine it's a mini laboratory controlling some factors out in the lake. So you're basically bringing your lab out to the lake. So imagine kind of like a little aquarium that you just stick out in the lake. And in this case, there are these giant 16 by 16 foot panels with plastic that are built in. They're buried into the mud, and the water's inside them and outside them is sort of separate, right? but they are designed so that a wave can go through them. So the plastic, a wave hits them, they're still getting wave action. Some of them have these heavy duty plastic sheet piling, like you would see at a marina, around part of them blocking the wind. So we have some with reduced wind. And then inside of those, we're actually treating them, some of them, with a treatment called alum, which alum takes and binds to all the sediment and completely clears the water column. So when you put the alum in, you can see the bottom nearly. It's still a little muddy, murky, but you can see the bottom for a short time. And we're experimenting whether that would be a possible way to gain water clarity. When we get water clarity, if we can get this water clarity so that the sun can hit the soil again, because it's not very deep, then plants can grow. But until then, none of the submergent vegetation can grow. So we go out weekly, take the airboat out, and then we're measuring how far light can get down inside and outside of these enclosures. We're also measuring the alum treatments, and then we also have a whole bunch of other enclosures out there as well. So.
Interesting. That is really neat. Well, we're going to take another quick break.
Yep.
You are listening to 92.7 KZHC, Harney County Live. I am Mindy Gould, and in studio I've got Dominic Bauckham with the Aquatic Health Coordinator.
Special occasions are happening and you want to be prepared. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets and Burns has walls of wonderful gifts. Kitchen supplies, linens, pottery, hydro flasks, yummy sweets. The list goes on and on. Have a wedding coming up, birthday, or need a gift just to say thank you? Gourmet and Gadgets can help you find just what you want, and they offer free gift wrap on your purchases. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets and Burns.
Hello, Harney County. Craig here with Ed Stobbinsons. This warm weather is bringing on grilling season, so it's time to get rid of those old tanks and update. Gas for clunkers. Bring in your old, outdated, or uncertified propane cylinder, replace it for new, and the gas is free. Let's swap out those old tanks and start the summer with the safety and security of a new tank. Remember, here at Ed Stobbinsons, your safety is important to us. Stop by at 429 Crane Boulevard or call 573-2622. There are three things you don't want when you're grilling: pellets, charcoal, or your mother-in-law. Ed Stobbinson, Energy Community Service.
Harney District Hospital and the Center Orthopedics in Bend teamed up to provide orthopedic care in Harney County. They specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of disorders of the bones, joints, ligaments, tendons, muscles, and nerves. Working with HDH's orthopedic nurse practitioner Brad Mangum and highly qualified and experienced physicians from the center, they're able to perform orthopedic surgical services locally, saving you hours of travel. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 541-573-2074 or go to harneydh.com/orthopedics.
Don't worry, we didn't forget about you. Now back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back to Harney County Live. You are listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. I'm Mindy Gould, and in studio I've got Dominic Bauckham, Aquatic Health Coordinator. So we were just talking about the meso... I can't even pronounce it.
The mesochasms.
Mesochasms.
And so they're like these little mini laboratories out in the water, aquatic mesochasms. And we're finding some interesting things with the treatments inside and out, and sort of looking at how the wind is affecting the water with bringing carp out of the system. So there's no carp inside of these enclosures. And that'll be interesting to add all of these things together, because I think the only way to fix the lake, if it's even possible, would be reducing carp, as well as figuring out somehow these are like wind reduction barriers, is a possibility, as well as figuring out how to clear the water column. And then the most important thing that we're working on now is the emergent vegetation project. So emergent vegetation is, when you think of any wetland, cattails, Hartzell bulrush, tules that are out there, when I say that there's none out there, there are some all around the edges of the lake. You know, you can imagine like where there's not deep water on the edges and in some of the shallower zones. And in a few places, little clumps are growing out onto an island or growing out there, but they're not doing well. And we're trying to figure out how we could increase that. Last year we did a pilot study for these where we take our same, our favorite thing out there on the lake, hog panels, and we've been using these 16 foot by 16 foot squared hog panels, and we put some out around a few of these patches, and we found that the ones that we sort of protected grew much better than the ones that were right next to them. And so there is a little something going on there where perhaps birds or muskrats or some factor is creating a reason for the vegetation to not grow. And the most exciting thing, last year we put up a few of these enclosures with hardwire cloth, kind of that stuff you would put around a rabbit cage, mm-hmm. a little teeny tiny hole, so even only the teeniest of carp could get through. We put some of those up in an area where there's just mud, and there's mud flat for miles and miles. And we put that up, and lo and behold, a bunch of emergent vegetation grew. Some little baby cattails, some little baby alkali bulrush, some little baby hardstem bulrush, as well as a few other little aquatic plants. And when you look at that exclosure and you look out across the rest of the lake and you go, okay, there's something going on here, because it's just mud flat and then you've got this kind of green thing growing. And so that got us really excited. We did it as part of a grant. We hired a graduate student. So we have a graduate student who she would love that I gave a pitch for this, that she would love to be on your show. Beth Boos, and she's here now in Harney County. She's actually going to school at Louisiana State. And her whole project is working on figuring out what's going on with the soil, what's going on with the plants, and what's going on with why they're growing in some places and not in others. And so she has about 40 of these exclosures out there. And we've also been taking some big clumps from other parts of the refuge, taking them out there in the airboat and planting them. And so doing bulrush transplants. And at one of my previous refuges that I worked at, we had really good success with that. So we've done a few of those. We've got a whole bunch where we're measuring whether an individual clump that's already growing out there, if it's protected, you know, is it growing better than a clump next to it, where we're taking a bunch of weekly, monthly measurements. Then we're also looking as the water goes down, we're looking at is certain areas more likely to grow if we put up these cages. So we've got a bunch of cages that are just out there with nothing in them, and looking to see if something just starts growing. And then as well as she is collecting soil, she's using our high school greenhouse this summer, and she's going to be testing the seed bank in the soil. So we're going to be collecting soil samples. We have three technicians this year, one high school student, one or just graduated high school, one college student, and one senior technician. And all of them will be not only just working on that project, but be in the high school watering their little dirt plots. So,
oh my gosh, you guys have got so much going on. So how big is your crew right now?
Well, the refuge staff has, they have two biologists on staff, a fish biologist and wildlife biologist. And then I work for the High Desert Partnership as aquatic health. And so under aquatic health, we have a lead aquatic health technician, Rebecca Pickle. And then we have a natural resource intern and the main aquatic health technician. So a couple of Harney County residents that work for us. So that's our main crew out there, including the graduate student, Beth Boos. And so we've got a pretty good sized crew. With COVID, we're only allowed a certain number of people on the boats in order to drive the airboats. They're basically like a ticking time bomb. They break down all the time. They aren't like any other boat. You would have to have all this flotation and safety device on it. Basically, the Coast Guard is like, this is like a flying death trap. Like, we don't care what you do with it. But the nice thing is, I always remind everyone, is you're not going to drown.
You're in a foot and a half of water.
Stand up. We could always walk home. It might be a muddy walk home, but we could always walk back.
Wow. Well, we're completely out of time. I really thank you for coming in and discussing all this with us. It's really super interesting, honestly. Thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHC.
KZHC FM. Burns, Heinz. Now, part of the